Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin M, Mission, Part 2, with the continuation of our interview with Jim Burnham, Episode 101.
Wow!
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Here we go. Our start of the next 100.
Praise God, I hope so, yes.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Dee. Glad you're with us. You know, somebody sent us, I can't remember whether it was a Facebook message or an email, and it said they love us. And what is it, because of the banter? Is it because of, was it Ebeth that said that? You're pointing to something that I didn't.
I've got this feedback I've got here for her. Shall I read it?
Sure, go ahead. I forgot that it was Ebeth. Go ahead.
Yeah, she said, congratulations to you, to both of you, for winning Catholic New Media's award as most spiritual podcast. Number two, for your 100th podcast.
Yay.
Wow. And number three, for being the best at what you do. The guests, the music, the giveaways, the sweet treats, and fun discussions between you two. May God bless you as he has blessed us with your gifts of love and determination to keep us full of vitamins. Love always, Ebeth.
Well, that's so very, very sweet.
That is just wonderful. Thank you, Ebeth.
I think it was actually somebody else's message that I saw who said that. I'm trying to figure out, do they love our bantering? Do they love the fact that we're pretty human?
Well, while we're on the subject, Ebeth, you had, I think, sent an email to her or a message to her asking how they were surviving Irene, Hurricane Irene.
Uh-huh.
And she also sent back, all is good. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all your lovely and charitable thoughts and prayers. We lost 5 trees, the whole back 40 of fence, and spent 36 hours under Irene's fury of rain, wind, gusts over 70 miles per hour. But we're fine.
Blessings, blessings. Woo. What good news that is. Well, dear, we're up in, we're on the second floor.
We're in the new podcast studio.
Yes, we are. And it is a Saturday evening. Should we tell people that? I think it's okay. We just came back from a nice walk with Holly, our schnauzer.
We did. Got out before. I don't like the fact that it's getting dark earlier. So
I know.
We had to get out quickly before it got dark.
Well, what I'd like to do is tell people what happened yesterday.
Yes.
I
missed this excitement.
I think you were washing dishes or something. And I said, well, I'll take Holly out. And it was about 45 minutes before dark. And I go up walking. And there's a hill, as you know, Dee, on the continuation of our street that we're new to, and I'm walking up, and there's a turn, and I happen to look up about 50 to 75 yards ahead of me, and guess what was looking at me?
What?
A big, big 700-pound female elk. Gosh.
And we know you and your relationship with female elks. It's not good.
Well, now people don't know what that's about at all. I was chased back in Colorado. I was chased down by an elk one time until I finally fell. Broke some ribs, punctured my lung, and wound up in the hospital for a couple days.
All that and the elk never touched you.
Oh, wait. Don't you want to tell people that it got its boxing gloves out? But at any rate, what happened is I was running so fast over rocks being chased, and I finally fell.
You tripped.
And it fell. And then I think the elk heard Holly barking at it, because Holly was nearby, the dog. And the elk decided to just watch Holly nervously for a couple of minutes, and then she just slowly walked away. That evening, I was having some trouble breathing, but when I got up the next morning, we went to church, and then I decided I think I didn't feel very well. That was the beginning of finding out what had really happened.
Yeah. It was Father's Day weekend. You spent Father's Day in the hospital year.
So when, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, you hear me talking about taking a walk with Holly last evening and seeing an elk, if there's any wonder about how quickly I moved back down the hill towards the house, I'd like you to know that I am a real chicken. All right. Well, it's Catholic Vitamin M2, just like vitamin B1, B2. This is vitamin M2, Catholic Vitamin M2. And we're blessed to have a continuation of our talk with Jim Burnham. We've had good feedback about his visit to Catholic Vitamins, and we'd like to continue with that because he's got a lot of great things to share about our mission to know more about our faith and how to talk with others, people of other faiths who may question with a little bit of an edge or just out of curiosity about what we believe as Catholics. Do you have anything else you want to read, dear, before we take a break?
Well, there's one more short little feedback here. It came in from Monica Raffi.
Mm-hmm.
She posted it on your wall, I think. I also just found out you two were awarded for the show. Yay! Congrats.
Oh, she's talking about the
Catholic New Media Awards for Most Spiritual Podcast. I am just so honored with that.
By the way, I told our bishop, not about the award, but I told him about reaching 100 shows. Dear folks, our bishop was here from our diocese, our chancery. He was up for confirmation, and he was with us for 2.5 days. And I did, two different masses with him. One of those masses was a confirmation mass. And I say when I did it with him as a deacon, of course, and helped him. And what a joy it is to have the bishop visiting our parish. But when we were back in taking off our vestments after the confirmation, I reminded him that he had been on our Catholic Vitamin show quite a long while ago and thanked him for that participation. And I said, we're up to 100 shows now. And he said, who else have you had on? And I said, well, we've had two bishops. Thank you, Excellency. And he wanted to know who the other bishop was. He gave me a recommendation for getting a hold of the bishop in Phoenix. He said, not Thomas Olmsted, but the new auxiliary bishop there.
Oh, I met him.
Did you?
He came to the retreat that some of the ladies here in our town and I went to back in the spring.
That was with Elizabeth Ficicelli, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, at any rate, he recommended that I talk to him, but he wanted to know who else, and I was telling him about the various priests and authors and that we had had on, and he said, well, keep up the good work and keep spreading the message. So,
also, I wanted to say that he is so
personable.
Easygoing, yeah, and patient. After confirmation, he went back up front and let each one of the 13 young adults have pictures taken with him along with their families and their sponsors. And then at the very end, he stayed long enough for you and I to get into a picture with him. And we posted that on Facebook.
Friends of Catholic Vitamins,
yes,
on Facebook. So
it's also on our individual pages.
You know
too.
That I'm going to write that on a 3x5 card for you?
Because I can't remember to say the whole thing.
Just like Catholic Vitamin M for mission. All right, dear friends, we prattled long enough.
I think we have. We'll be back in a minute.
How's that for some different music? That is, of course, At the Name of Jesus, done by the St. Anne Catholic Church Folk Group from an album God in Music City, The Sounds of Religion in Nashville, Tennessee. Well, thank you so much for giving us a little taste of old-time religion and old-time music. I love it. As I love praise and worship and sacramental music and some of our old traditional favorites, we'll be up soon with our guest, Jim Burnham, part 2 of Mission. Well, if you're new to Catholic Vitamins and this happens to be your first show, I invite you to go back and at least go back to the previous show where we did Catholic Vitamin M1. We started our mission to learn more about the faith, about the church, and about truth. When we started with Jim Burnham, our guest, who is found in so many wonderful places, chief among them would be Catholic Answers. Last show, we talked about bad popes and about truth in the Catholic Church. We talked about questions like, why do you Catholics call your priests father? And Jim Burnham ended our interview last week with a beautiful explanation of Mary as an intercessor for us and why it is really safe and wonderful to go to Mary and to other saints for help with some of what we face on this side of eternity. So we're ready now to join Jim as we continue our Catholic Vitamin M for Mission. All right, moving on to a new topic. I did a funeral with our pastor just about a week ago, and the deceased person had asked that I do the homily at his funeral. And I was talking to the members of his family and to all the faithful that were there for the funeral about our family, those who are in heaven, the justified that you talked about, those who are being prepared for eternal union with Christ in purgatory, and then us who are the church militant still struggling here. And when I was talking about purgatory, I just had the sense, the feeling, that many of the people were looking at me as if it's unbiblical or it's just not something that's real. I'm sure you've heard this before yourself.
Oh, absolutely. We often get the question as Catholics, well, show me where in the Bible the word purgatory is mentioned. Show me where the Bible uses the word purgatory. And of course, the answer is the Bible doesn't use the word purgatory. It doesn't. That word's not found in Scripture. But that doesn't matter. The question is the doctrine of a temporary state of purification, is that found in Scripture? And of course, that answer is yes, it is. There are lots of words that aren't found in Scripture. The word Trinity, our belief in the three persons in one God, is not found in Scripture. Does that mean that our Christian belief in the Trinity is unbiblical? No, it just means that technical word is not there, but the doctrine is certainly found there. We have the doctrine that the Father is God, and Jesus is clearly God, proved it by his miracles, and that the Holy Spirit, which he promised to send, is God. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, but we know that there is only one God. The Trinity is the way we make sense of that biblical data, but it doesn't mean that we invented the doctrine of the Trinity by introducing the word. The word incarnation is not in Scripture. The word Bible is not in Scripture. But of course, that doesn't mean that those realities are not found in Scripture. Is purgatory found in Scripture? Yes. Yes. We know that we're called to be perfect. Matthew 5:48 says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Hebrews 12:14 says, we have to have the holiness, but to strive for that holiness without which we cannot see God. Revelation 21:27 says, nothing unclean shall enter heaven. Nothing unclean. So we have to be spiritually perfected before we can enter into God's presence. Now, most of us, if we ask the question, if I died tonight or in the next 10 seconds, if I was hit by the proverbial cement truck the moment I walk out of this room, am I spiritually perfected? Is my charity, my love of God and neighbor, is it perfect? Is it untinged by any self-love and self-interest? And most of us, I think, if we were honest, would have to say, well, listen, I do love God and I do love my neighbor, but my love, my charity, is not perfect. I still have some self-love that I express through my sins, and I still have some earthly attachments that keep me from embracing God's will completely. So I would say that I have some imperfections, and if I died, I would have some scrubbing up to do before I entered the heavenly kingdom. I remember I came back from a camping trip one time, a hiking trip. I went for a week up to Mount Whitney, horribly tough trip, and I came back, and I was just, I had sweat, and it just, I was a mess. there were probably flies buzzing around me, you know, when I came home. And I remember going up to my door and I knocked on the door, you know, to come home. And my wife opened the door and she took one look at me and one whiff of me. And she said, "You need to take a shower first." And she pointed me outside and she pointed me to the hose. She wanted me to scrub up before I went inside because I was a mess. And I was happy to scrub up. I didn't want to bring all that filth and mess and muck into my home. And that's what purgatory is. Purgatory is where Christians who die loving God, but without perfect love, they get to scrub away the last imperfections of selfishness and self-love so that they can walk into the heavenly throne room and walk into the heavenly banquet room properly attired. There's that wonderful parable that we have to have the proper wedding garments for the wedding feast. When we go to the wedding feast of the Lamb, that eternal banquet, we do not want to be dressed in filth and muck, in tattered, ragged, mud-dripping, sweat-filled, pus-filled clothes. We want to be presentable. And that's what God in His mercy has provided through purgatory, a place where we can become perfect before, you know, perfect in charity, perfect in holiness, so that we can, so we will not feel out of place at the heavenly banquet. And we, so we see all kinds of examples of this in Scripture. I won't go into 1 Peter 3:18 talks about when Jesus preached to the spirits in prison. Oh, one good verse perhaps to really look at is 1 Corinthians 3:15. Paul talks about how Christians will suffer loss, but will be saved as through fire. That is, at the end of our lives, our works are going to be tried, tested. And some of the stuff that we built will be, it's like we built it out of wood, hay, and straw. And the day of judgment will disclose that that was really not permanent stuff to build out of. But other things are built out of gold, silver, and precious stones. And that work will be tested and found true and good and pure. So Paul says, if someone's work is burned up, the work's made out of wood, hay, and straw, that person will suffer loss. That is, those imperfect works, those imperfect acts of charity or lack of charity will be burned away. The person will be saved. This is not someone who goes to hell, but only as through fire. Fire is always used, or many times used in Scripture, as a purifying agent, as something that perfects gold and perfects silver, takes away all the impurities and imperfections. And that's what purgatory is, where the imperfections of our love and the imperfections of our life are burned away so that only the gold, silver, and precious stone of God's grace and holiness remains.
Our guest on Catholic Vitamins is Jim Burnham. Jim, we're running long. Can you stay with us a little bit longer?
Absolutely, Deacon. I'd be honored to.
All right. Well, here's a situation that I ran into, a pastoral situation. We found out that in a parish that I was involved in some years ago, that a sort of a leader of a Bible study group was of the opinion and recommending that Holy Communion be provided to anyone that comes to a Mass, especially circumstances like a funeral or a wedding when there's high emotions and people of mixed faith usually.
Sure.
This leader of this Bible study group cited the multiplication of the fish and loaves, where food was given to all followers, whether they were immediate followers of Jesus or not. So how would you respond to that from the point of view of apologetics or Scripture?
You often hear that. And in fact, we just had that reading, I think it was this Sunday, the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. It's the only miracle besides the resurrection that's mentioned in all four Gospels. It made a tremendous impact on the early church, and it is a tremendous foreshadowing of the Eucharist. You know, Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, distributes it. That's exactly the words that the priest uses at Mass, so that there is a tremendous Eucharistic connection. But notice that the multiplication of the loaves is not the Eucharist. It is just a preparation of the Eucharist, an anticipation of the Eucharist, pointing out that Jesus has mastery over all the physical world. And so it's no problem for him to make a little bit of bread simultaneously present in the mouths of 20,000 or more of his audience. But, you know, this was just a foretaste of the Eucharist. What did the early church do about the Eucharist? We read about the early church and how they received the Eucharist in the letters of St. Paul. First Corinthians chapters 10 and 11, Paul talks about the Eucharist. And he says some very, very powerful things. First, he says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? He's saying this is really Jesus' body and blood. This is really his body and blood. And then he goes on in chapter 11 to say, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will have to answer for the body and blood of the Lord. If we receive Christ's body and blood spiritually unprepared, in a sacrilegious way or a careless way, then that great gift, which is supposed to be food for our spiritual journey, becomes something that injures us because we're not receiving it worthily. Therefore, Paul goes on to say, verse 28, a person should examine himself and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, without recognizing the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. Paul is saying this is serious business. This isn't just a symbol that everybody can partake of. This is a reality that you had better be both spiritually and mentally prepared for. Because if you come forward, if you present yourself to receive this reality of our Lord's body and blood, but we don't do it in a worthy way, or if we do it without recognizing that really is the body and blood of our Lord, then instead of helping us, it will spiritually harm us. So the church is not being mean when it says communion is ordinarily reserved for those Catholics who, A, share our belief that is Jesus' body and blood, that recognize Jesus in the Eucharist, as Paul says, and secondly, that they are united to the Catholic Church in a more formal way. So you have to believe what the church believes, and you have to be united to the church. Now, that offends our democratic sensibilities. We want to say, well, wait a minute, everybody should be able to come forward. But then, wait a minute, there's all kinds of examples where we say we make exceptions. I was just on a Catholic Answers cruise, and I was able to speak there, and we had two nights on the cruise that were designated formal nights. So in order to eat at the fancy restaurant, you had to put on a coat and a tie. Or a tuxedo. You know, ladies had to have dresses and the men had to have a formal attire. If you showed up to the restaurant in your jeans and T-shirt, they would have either given you a coat and tie, or they would have said, I'm sorry, you don't have the right attire. Now, nobody on the cruise was like, that's unfair. That's undemocratic. How dare they distinguish between the well-dressed and the poor-dressed? We understand there are occasions where, if you want to fit in, you have to follow the rules. If you want to wear a championship ring, you have to be on the championship team. It's not fair or seemly to just go on eBay and buy a cheap facsimile of an NFL championship ring, and then try to pass yourself off as a championship ring recipient. In a somewhat similar way, the church says, listen, unless you are united to us in the bond of faith, and unless you believe, as Catholics believe, that really and truly is Jesus, then it's not fair for you to come forward. Nor is it fair for the church to ask people to come forward. What does the priest say when everyone comes forward to receive communion? He says, the body of Christ. And our response is supposed to be, amen. I believe. I affirm. The priest is asking every person that comes forward to receive the Eucharist to make an affirmation, an oath of belief that is the body of Christ. Now, for our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, most of whom who don't believe that is the body and blood of Christ, to ask them or to allow them to come forward and then ask them to make an oath to affirm something that they don't affirm, that's not fair. That's not just. That's not right. We would never ask them to come forward and perhaps violate their conscience and affirm that's really Jesus when in fact they belong to a faith tradition that says no. So the church is not being egalitarian. The church is not being mean-spirited. The church is merely saying, listen, this is important stuff, so important that we reserve it ordinarily to those Catholics who share our faith and who are united in the faith to us. Because as Catholics, this isn't just some funny thing that we do. This is, we believe that the Eucharist is that which actually creates the union between us. We call it Holy Communion. It's, we believe that Jesus' body and blood creates the bond of union that is the church. That's how we are bound to Jesus and thus bound to one another as members of his body. He lives in us and us in him in the Eucharist and through the Eucharist. When Jesus talked about the vine and the branches, it was when he had just instituted the Eucharist. So this is kind of the initiation into the Catholic bond. And unless they really have the Catholic faith, unless they're willing to accept all that comes with that Catholic bond, it's better for that time not to invite them forward willy-nilly to perhaps violate their conscience, but to wait until they have a true Catholic faith in the real presence and the desire to be united to the Catholic faith. Then they can come forward and receive. But it's, and I know that sounds, some people say, oh, it just sounds harsh, but then just go back. Listen, you know, does our society let everybody who wants to into the Marines? No. You have to take an oath. You have to pass a physical. You have to be prepared for the life of a Marine. Likewise, the church is not going to invite just everybody off the street into the difficult, heroic life that we Catholics are called to without making sure that they know what they're doing and that they're prepared to follow through. So it's not mean, it's just prudent.
Well, dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, you are receiving the benefits of a Catholic Answers cruise participation here on our show with Jim Burnham. This is awesome. Maybe we could do one more question, then I'd like to move into your areas of ministry and work if we can.
Sure.
So here's a situation I've run into. I think families face this. Let's say there's a woman whose husband passes away and she comes to the parish to make arrangements for the funeral. When Father asks about burial of the husband's remains, the lady says he's going to be cremated, and his wish, because he was in the Navy, was to have his ashes scattered at sea. What would you say would be the church's proper teaching to this woman?
That's a great pastoral question and often comes up. Now, the answer is that the church does allow the practice of cremation, as you know, Deacon, as long as that purpose is not to specifically deny the resurrection of the body, which, of course, we believe and we affirm it at every Mass. At the end of the Creed, we talk about we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. But the church does allow the cremation of the body as long as we properly dispose of those remains. In the order of Christian funerals, the book that is used to perform funerals, in section 416, it says this: the practice of scattering cremated remains on the sea, from the air, or on the ground, or keeping cremated remains in the home of a relative or friend of the deceased, are not the reverent disposition that the church requires. We need to treat the body with respect. Why? Because we're going to be reunited with our bodies, and our bodies are going to be reunited to our immortal souls, and they are going to share in either the heavenly glory of the righteous, which of course is what we hope for all of us, or the eternal suffering of the damned in hell. But our bodies are part of us, for better or for worse, forever. And so the church has always shown great respect for the body and requires that we treat our bodies while we're alive with respect and upon death with respect. Generally, that means burying them, you know, in the ground or some suitable place. The church does allow cremation, but even then, those remains need to be treated with respect. So the scattering is, the church feels that's treating the body without respect, without the respect that it is due. And so we cannot honor a promise to scatter someone else's ashes, you know, even if that was their dying wish, we would have to say, no, the church asks us to treat the body both in life and in death with respect, and that means disposing of the bodily remains, whether cremated or not, in a reverent and appropriate fashion. So we can keep them in an urn or a coffin or some other suitable container, but we can't scatter them or keep them on the mantelpiece because that doesn't show proper respect for the body.
Okay, gosh, what we could just spend a lot more time with Jim Burnham. Jim, I'm not sure in our setup emails with your office and you that I ever mentioned this, but I have quite a library, probably not as big as many other people, and I have a number of books from San Juan Ministries. And coincidentally, I might just mention to you that my spiritual director is Father Frank Chacon, whom
my co-author with our Beginning Apologetics booklets.
So tell us about San Juan Ministries and about your books.
Well, after college, after I had this awakening in my faith and reappreciation for how biblical and historical my Catholic beliefs were, I was really set on fire by that experience. And yes, I had been confirmed, but it was like the graces of my confirmation had been unlocked, unleashed, and I wanted to go out and start sharing the good news. The good news that our Catholic faith is real. It is biblical. It is historical. It is defendable. So I began to look for opportunities to share my faith, and I ran across Father Frank Chacon while he was up here in Farmington, New Mexico, and he was excited about apologetics. He was newly ordained, and he was very, very knowledgeable, and so we began to offer classes, local classes, trying to help educate Catholics like me, who had had a pretty good Catholic formation, but still weren't able to answer basic questions and challenges about the Catholic faith. So we offered some local seminars, and we had some notes and handouts, and those notes and handouts were so popular, at the end of that, people asked us to compile them in a booklet, and that became the basis of our first apologetics booklet, Beginning Apologetics 1. And at first, we photocopied them until we thought people had enough, but we kept getting more and more requests. So finally, we decided to publish the booklet. It became, it sold hundreds of thousands of copies.
Wow!
And it was so well received. We decided to continue on with a book on Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses because that is a particular challenge in our area. And we followed up with another booklet on the Eucharist, which you mentioned, proving the real presence of Jesus, which, for my money, is the most important doctrine any Catholic needs to know. I mean, if you only learn one thing about your faith, and learn it well, learn how to explain and defend the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Because if you can show people that really and truly is Jesus, not only will you, as a Catholic, remain anchored, firmly rooted in your faith, you'll be able to invite other people to experience Jesus in the most profound possible way this side of heaven. And so people often say, well, where do I begin, and how do I, I don't know how to begin evangelizing, and I want to be part of, this missionary work, but what do I do? Well, learn about the Eucharist. Immerse yourself in the Eucharist. Become devoted to the Eucharist. Receive the Eucharist. And then begin to, little by little, share the Eucharist with your Catholic friends and also your non-Catholic friends. It is the most attractive, magnetic doctrine in our Catholic faith because it's Jesus Christ himself. And so you can become a powerful missionary by just presenting one piece of the Catholic pie, and that is the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Anyway, so we started writing this whole series of booklets, Father Frank Chacon and I, and they go all over the country, Canada, Australia, other English-speaking countries, England, Ireland, and they have been immensely popular, and I think they're popular not because of any brilliance that Father Chacon and I have. I think they're popular because they are very simply written. One of the best compliments we ever received was from a woman. She said, your booklets are so simple, even my husband can read it. Even my husband
Right.
can read it.
All right.
They're not big, thick books. They're not filled with abstract theological reasoning. They're short and simple. They present the basics of the faith in a clear, accessible manner. And it gives you the basic answers that you need as a baptized, confirmed Catholic to talk intelligently about your faith, to answer questions and objections, to correct misconceptions. That's one of the biggest issues that come up. People have misconceptions. Oh, I thought you Catholics worship Mary. Nope, we don't. We worship God alone. We honor Mary because we imitate Jesus, who kept the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. We're just imitating Jesus when we honor Mary. But we don't think she's a goddess. We don't worship her as part of the Trinity or something like that. But there's a lot of misconceptions that non-Catholics have. If we Catholics know our faith, we'll have the answers and the corrections to those misconceptions. So if they can see the Catholic Church for the true bride of Christ that it is, and not this monstrous human invention that they were somehow told that she is.
How many books do you have in your apologetics series?
We are up to 9 books. We have 9 books, and we have a study guide for the first book, and then we have a thing called a Bible verse finder, Catholic verse finder. Some people call it the Bible cheat sheet, which is it's a crib sheet that organizes about 600 Bible verses around the 50 or so most popular Catholic doctrines or topics. And so it gives you kind of at a glance dozens of verses to help support the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, for example, or purgatory, infant baptism, our beliefs about Mary, our beliefs about the sacraments, why we ask for intercessory prayer, why we call our priest father, why we fast, why our priests are celibate, that kind of stuff. Questions that we often get from our non-Catholic brothers and sisters who have legitimate questions or who have legitimate objections that they've heard from the TV or radio, and they want to see what's up. So this is something that you can fold in your Bible and like I say, keep literally hundreds of verses at your fingertips. This is the most popular thing we sell now because it gives the ordinary Catholic, without too much effort, the ability to present dozens of verses to support most of what we believe as Catholics.
All right, here's what we'll do as strong believers in San Juan Ministries and the work that they do. Catholic Vitamins will provide 3 copies of Proving the Real Presence of Christ in the Eucharist. We'll offer these free to any listeners who will send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call our feedback number 206-350-3789. When I say we will do this, we'll just do a drawing and we'll pick 3 listeners to receive Proving the Real Presence of Christ in the Eucharist by Jim Burnham. And before we go to our final question, how do people find you either on the internet or by phone?
Well, we have a website. It's CatholicApologetics.com, all one word, Catholic Apologetics, APOLOGETICS.com. They can also get our materials through an even easier to get website, and that's Catholic.com. That's Catholic Answers' wonderful website, which if you haven't visited, please do, because they have answers to virtually every question under the sun. If you've ever had a question about your Catholic faith, type it in their little quick search, and you will see you'll come up. You'll have plenty of articles that help you answer that in full. We can also be contacted by phone. We have an 800 number or a toll-free number, 888-327-5343. And our materials are also available on Amazon.com. So however you are from many Catholic bookstores. If you have a Catholic bookstore in your town, I'll encourage you to support your local Catholic bookstore. There's a good chance they already carry our materials. If they don't, go to them and tell them to drop us a line and get their materials in their bookstore, because this material really needs to be shared more widely so that we Catholics can, you know, do what St. Peter said to do, and that's give an account for the hope that is in us, so that we can go out and proclaim the fullness of the good news to the ends of the earth, which is what all of us are called to do. This is mission, the vitamin mission, and this isn't just the work of priests or nuns or CCD teachers. If you've been baptized, if you've been confirmed, you as a Catholic have a vital role to play in sharing the Catholic faith, in bringing more and more people into contact with Christ, especially with contact with Christ in the Eucharist. And it's work every one of us can do and must do. It just takes a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of prayer, maybe more prayer, and a little bit of trust in God that he will quicken the graces of your baptism and your confirmation to give you the confidence and the zeal and the passion and the love of souls to go out there and really win the world for Christ.
You mentioned Catholic Answers, and we were blessed maybe 6-7 months ago to have Patrick Coffin on, and I've heard you on the call-in program for at Catholic Answers several times, but I also know that you're one of their speakers. Tell us about how that works.
Yeah, I'm on the Catholic Answers Speakers Bureau, which means I'm a hired gun. I can, you know, if you call up Catholic Answers and ask for an apologetic speaker, I'm one of the guys that that you can request. And we love to go to parishes, chanceries, men's groups, RCAA groups, youth groups, and talk about apologetics, talk about strengthening your faith, talk about how to begin to evangelize. All of us are called to evangelize. All of us are called to proclaim the gospel. Well, how do we do it? How do you start? How do you make that first step? And that's what we as speakers love to help equip people to do. So if you have any interest at all in bringing in a good Catholic speaker, call or jump on Catholic Answers website, catholic.com, and look for their speakers and see what it might cost to bring out a speaker. If not me, one of the other wonderful, amazing, knowledgeable, passionate speakers to help really ignite your faith and the faith of your parish. Because all of us need encouragement. All of us need, a good shot in the arm, some spiritual vitamins, a little spiritual adrenaline to get us off the couch and to get us into the game of winning souls for Christ. And the more you share your faith, I guarantee you this, the more you're going to love and appreciate and grow in your own faith.
As we move to a close, Jim, I just want to say a word. Every time I hear Catholic Answers website, catholic.com, I have a vision of Pope John the 23rd or Pope John Paul II telling someone on the staff, we need a website, get us going, and somebody coming back and saying, I'm sorry, catholic.com has already been taken. And the Holy Father saying, what? What?
But yeah, what? Yeah, no, they have one of the best names in websites and one of the most content-filled websites out there. So if you don't remember anything else about this show, remember Catholic.com and go there with your questions and direct your non-Catholic brothers and sisters who have questions to that website, because you will find beautiful, charitable, biblical answers to virtually any question you can think of about the Catholic Church.
Our guest on Catholic Vitamins has been an awesome appearance by Jim Burnham from San Juan Ministries and from Catholic Answers, who's helped us to look at Vitamin M mission, our mission to be more informed, more supportive, more excited, faith-filled Catholics. Jim Burnham, thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you, Deacon Tom, and may God bless you and all of your listeners.
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We are called to sing joyfully to the Lord, like my daughter in the background. We need to acclaim that Jesus Christ is the rock of salvation and that he has founded the Catholic Church to be the rock that follows him wherever he goes. And let's respond in thanksgiving, really. I mean, let's be thankful for everything the Lord has given us. Has he not given so much to us? I believe that each one of us is appointed as watchmen, to avoid punishment. Punishment is not a harsh thing, but it is in actuality a corrective thing. The Lord is revealing to us the path of destruction, and he is saying, here's what it looks like. Early on, we need to save ourselves as far as we can, which is to make good decisions to follow the commandments of the Lord. And what are those commandments? Well, we know the commandments. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's spouse or goods. All of these things are a description of the great commandment of Jesus to love our neighbor as ourselves. For when we lie, we not only cheat our neighbor, but we cheat ourselves. And we begin to taste the destruction that it leads to. This is that basic punishment that comes into our life, where the Lord is trying to correct us. Yes, if our brother has offended us, we need to go to him, and not to everybody else, and tell him what he has done to us, so as to awaken his conscience, that he might ask for forgiveness and be saved himself. If he has no response, then we are not called to enable his disorder, but we are called to say, I can no longer walk with you, brother, if you are to continue in this sin. This is to protect us, our family, from falling into the same disorder. And the church needs to gather as one and to pray a blessing on those that have fallen in disorder, not to treat them as people with leprosy, but to treat them as people, as brothers, and to give them that loving respect, yet to recognize that their behavior is not our own and is not that of Christ. In the new evangelization, we are called to breathe new life into the world by proclaiming that what Jesus has taught us is true, that his moral order is true, that his moral order is meant to reign in the world. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
The Lord is working in our daily lives. We are all Catholic pilgrims on a journey back to the Father's house in one way or another. This came to me when I was at World Youth Day in Madrid. Now I have started a simple blog. It's called acatholicpilgrim.tumblr.com. And I invite you to go and to check it out. It is simply small little stories about how the Holy Spirit is working in my life right now. And I want to invite you to start a blog like this and to begin to share it with all of your friends on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you've got going, so that people of the world can have the evidence right before them on a regular basis about what God is doing in our lives. Why should we hide this under a bushel basket? Let's not have any false humility here. Let's simply speak the truth to what God is doing in our lives. I invite you to go there today, acatholicpilgrim.tumblr.com. If you want to see my World Youth Day experience, go to justinstrow.tumblr.com. Peace be with you.
Thank you, Justin Stroh, and thank you, Jim Burnham, for the wonderful double appearance on Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin M1 Mission, Vitamin M2 Mission Continued. And I want to remind all of our listeners, dear Dee, that we have three copies of Jim Burnham's wonderful book on how to explain and defend the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. It's only 40 pages. You can wrap your mind around it pretty easy. And we're going to do this as a free giveaway to listeners to Catholic Vitamins.
We're going to run this until at least around the 18th of September.
Okay.
And you can send in, did you give the feedback number?
No, I didn't. Not yet.
You can send in feedback to, or request for the book to 206-350-3789 and just leave. All you have to do is just say Jim Burnham's book. Or you can send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And speaking of books.
Yes, I have in my right hand Sherry Boaz's first book, the first in a trilogy. This book is called Until Lily. I've read this. I've plugged it. We've plugged it. And today, I think
today's the day we draw for that.
All right. So
We have three copies of the first of the trilogy. So we're going to draw three names.
All right.
And we got a lot of entries.
All right.
All right. I'm going to hold it up high. You pull.
All right. Here, I'm reaching in for the first one, a pink slip, and it says Linda White. All right, Linda. Thank you so much.
Number two.
All right. We had so many entries on this.
Ooh.
Rita Rossini in Texas. I wonder if Rita is Italian or did she... Mary, that
Italian
name. All right. And the third name is Risa Federline in Pennsylvania.
Great.
Well, there you go. Three copies of Until Lily will be going out this week. I think you told me when we were eating dinner earlier that we have to get our act together and send out...
Yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of mailings this week because Susan and Michelle, if you were listening to last week's podcast, Michelle, we drew your name for Bite of Scrabble, and Susan, we were going to send her something for guessing that that was Sarah Reinhardt during our promo last week. Well, the week kind of got away from us. We had a lot going on this week, and I did not get the mailings out, so... Day after Labor Day, we're going to take these three names we just drew. We're going to take these gifts and the two from last week, and we're going to the post office.
All right, we'll try to get them out. Hey, one other thing about books. I received a courtesy copy, I should say Catholic Vitamins received a courtesy copy, of Lisa Maladnik's new book, Be an Amazing Catechist, Sacramental Preparation. I put some words on our blog page about this. It's a wonderful book. I've looked through it. It's full of excitement and lots of good information. And whether you're a CCD teacher or a parent or somebody helping for confirmation prep, this is good stuff. And this also is not a very thick book. So I recommend it highly. And you can find this book by going to osv.com. That's our Sunday Visitors website. And Lisa Maladnik, thank you for sharing a copy of that book with us. I love it.
I looked through it. All right. It's a very colorful book. I like it.
What do you got there?
I got a little bit of feedback here. I had posted a few days ago on Facebook that I had been neglecting my Facebook friends because we had been doing all this moving, and I hadn't been on Facebook for quite a while. And Joe Sales wrote, D, we, your friends, forgive you. You have every right to enjoy your new home. We, your friends, are always here, but we've missed you.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And Mary Taylor Donaldson, just want to say thank you for the prayers. My father is doing better, finally at home. I love your podcast. I listened today, and I will be catching up on episodes. Y'all, she's from Texas, isn't she? You all are the best and always in my prayers, too.
She's in Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. What am I saying? All right. Keep being the amazing people you are. Just in case you'd like to look at some beautiful work, you can go to her website, Mary Taylor Donaldson's website. You can Google it and get that information. And she did the logo for Catholic Vitamins. It's a great logo.
Yes. We also had an email and feedback from Jackie Whiteside in Washington State. We hadn't heard from her in a while. Dear Deacon Tom and Dee, just wanted to say congratulations on your 100th episode of Catholic Vitamins. Can't believe you have hit 100 episodes already. How time flies. I've enjoyed every episode and look forward to the next 100. So do we. Thanks for all you do to promote our Catholic faith and to keep us focused on reaching heaven. Congrats also on winning in the Catholic New Media Awards. You definitely deserve it. And then she said that her three kids are back in school as of whenever she wrote this, the week before, and that her husband officially retired from the Army after 20 years of service. Congratulations to him, and thank you for your service.
Amen.
He's starting school now to work on a PhD in international relations. Wow. Please keep him and the rest of us in your prayers as we begin this new phase of our lives. By the way, she said, I love the 100th episode for another reason. I love the topic of mission. Your speaker was amazing. I could have listened to him all day. Well, you get to listen to him again this time. I can't wait to hear him speak for Vitamin M2. Please put me in the drawing for one of his books.
All right, we'll do it. And we're going to do our Vita Scrabble in a minute. I think Dee's got a Vita Minute to do. And you know that we have teased about Bob Derilio, old Bob Derilio, quite a bit.
Yes.
I have a little thing that he played for us when he visited us in Arizona. We'll be right back.
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me.
that's the very humble Bob Derilio.
And the very old Bob Derilio.
Well, thanks so very much for sharing some of your music with us, Bob. And I'm holding confessions next Saturday. You can come see me. Dear, what have you got?
How about Vita Scrabble?
Vita Scrabble, right, okay.
For next time. Catholic vitamin N.
Like Norma?
Yes.
Okay.
N's in W.
Okay. I bet this is going to be a real... How many letters?
Three.
Wait a minute. It begins with an N.
N's in W.
N's in W, and it's got three letters.
Three letters.
And there's no vowels?
This is a slam dunk.
Okay. All right. Come on. Get your guesses in. It's Catholic
Although
vitamins.
I can think of two words.
I know. CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. Send us a guess, and we'll put your name in a basket, and maybe you'll get a Catholic vitamin sweet treat.
And I have a vitamin.
Okay.
And it's not for my meditation calendar this time. I actually stole this one off your desk.
Yes, you did.
I picked up something you had laying there, and I thought, I like this. It's by Mother Angelica from EWTN. She says, people often ask me, how do you know whether something is God's will in your life? I say, ask me next year, and then we'll know whether it was God's will. The Lord is not going to come down and say, now look, sweetie, I want you to do this little thing for me. He's not going to do that. He gave you a brain. He gave you a memory, an intellect, a will. Do you realize if you are a Christian, you have sanctifying grace in you? The Holy Spirit is in you. Pray. Move forward in His grace, and you will discover His will for you.
Mother Teresa, or Mother
Angelica.
Yeah, thank you so very much, Dee. That's beautiful. All right, well, that's our show this time. Once again, what a gift to have Jim Burnham visit twice on Catholic Vitamins, and we really covered a lot of ground, apologetics, and learning more about our faith.
And co-author on his book that we're giving away is Father Frank Chacon, who was also a previous guest on our show.
Right. And I want to say that the organization that they started quite some time ago out in New Mexico is called San Juan Catholic Seminars. I have their 2011 catalog. There's a lot of wonderful apologetics material and study guides and CDs. So go to their website. I think I gave the address earlier. I don't see it right here. Oh, yeah, here it is, catholicapologetics.com. And maybe you'll find something that you'd like to study a little bit to help your knowledge base about our Catholic faith.
That's it for now.
Blessings. Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
We'll go out on this show with a song from Brian Murdaugh, BryanMurdaugh, BrianMurdaugh.com. This is from his album 29, and this song is called Glory. Thank you.
There is one voice over the water, the God of glory thunder, and the voice of the Lord is power. It's unceasing, it's unchanging power, and all in His temple will cry, all in His temple will cry, all in His temple will cry. Glory, glory, Lord over all forever, we cry glory. Glory, glory, Lord over all forever, we cry glory. It's a voice of consuming fire, and the God of glory rocks the desert. The voice of the Lord strips the forest bare. It's unceasing, it's unchanging power, and all in His temple will cry, All of this temple will cry. All of this temple will cry. Glory, glory, Lord over all forever, we cry glory. Stands his throne above the water. From his throne he delivers life. And in his temple all his people are so blessed. And all in his temple will cry. All in his temple will cry. All in his temple will cry. Forever.